gospel, how it affects our life, and it's for Jew and it's for Gentile, and it brings him glory. And for this reason, I am praying what we're going to see here in just a few seconds. And then we move out by faith and trusting God. Now notice what he says here in verse 1. For this reason, because the scriptures have taught us this, I bow my knees before the Father. Now, that doesn't mean you have to bow to pray. I think what's more important than the physical posture here is his heart. I am bowing. And in those days, when you bowed before a ruler, you were saying, do with me whatever you desire. Cut off my head, put me in chains. I am bowing my knees. You are my God. You reveal your will. Will, that's what I want. I want your will. For this reason, because of the truth of the gospel, I am praying before the Father. Now notice this, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Now a lot of people see that as different. I think in the context of the chapter and the whole book, I think what he's saying there is simply this. He's been talking about Jew and Gentile, the mystery of the gospel. He is the Father of every family for whom he's redeemed, Jew and Gentile. Isn't that neat? Also in heaven. Isn't that great hope? If you are dead, well, you don't know it here, but if you've died or a loved one has died and they're in Jesus Christ and they are in heaven, he is still their Father. In fact, didn't he say in Mark 12, am I not the God of the dead, but I am the God of the living? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are they alive today on earth? No, but he's still their God. So he's praying this amazing Father who has brought together two groups into his church, the family of God. He is their Father, whether they are now in heaven or they're alive on this earth, serving him and bringing him glory. So powerful praying is entering into God's will revealed in us in Scripture and denying what we want. So now let's dig in deeper. The second thing, the Spirit enables the church to know the unknowable. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? How can I know the unknowable? Well, hang on, and hopefully we'll grab it here in just a little bit. These next requests, someone says like a telescope, how you have a telescope. You ever watch an old movie, you know, and they're out on the ship, and what do? You know, and they're doing that. Now, it's like a telescope where all these parts are interconnected, or like a staircase that you're walking up. I think that's kind of a pretty good description. There are some key words Paul brings out in this amazing prayer. Power, love, knowledge, and fullness. Let's look at the first one, verse 16. He's praying that God's church be strengthened with power. Verse 16. That. You see that word, that? Purpose is coming up next. I am praying to the Father. I'm bowing my will to His as revealed in Scripture. He is our wonderful Father that according to the riches of His glory, which is limitless, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner being. Paul's concern here for God's church is that He gets in the inside of us, changes the inside. In fact, in verse 16, it says, your inner being. Verse 17, inside your hearts. The end of verse 19, that you be filled on the inside. Verse 20, it's a power that's within us. He is saying the Spirit of God wants to get deep in your heart. If all of us were honest, we probably spent more time today preparing the outside of us than we did our heart. Spirit of God, and the Bible tells us, praise to God the Father for the glory of Jesus, for your heart. That's what he's talking about here, that I am praying that the Holy Spirit, and isn't it neat how he uses this word strength and power over and over again? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times he uses the word strength, power, and able. The Spirit of God wants to get down deep in your inner being and give you what you do not have, strength. How many of you feel weak in your life? A lot of times. How many of you think there's got to be more than this? Do you ever pray that God would strengthen you with power through His Spirit? You know what that kind of praying says? You admit you ain't got it. You admit that you're living Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as a weakling. I need you. I can't do this on my own. You've brought things into my life that are hard. I live in a world where there's an enemy attacking me. I need help. You ever pray that? I do. I need strength. I need the Spirit of God to get down deep into my heart. Isn't that where real change takes place? Down in our heart. Paul prays that the church might prevail by God's dominating strength in the deepest, deepest part of us. We talked about this yesterday in our elders' meeting. As sometimes, many times, there's deep, deep places in us we don't even know. Dark things. That's what Paul's prayer is. The Spirit of God strengthen the church to get down deep because we're frail and cowardly. When we got our house, I noticed in one of their bedrooms, there was a safe on the wall. Woo, a safe. Immediately, my mind's going, there's a lot of stuff in there that's got to be valuable. There's like $1 million in there. There's gold coins. And so naturally, I went up to the tumbler. The tumbler's got kind of broken. And so I just forgot about it, you know, for several years. And so one day, I guess I was bored, and I thought, I'm going to get inside that safe. Who knows what's in there? Just curious. And it goes back into the closet, which is now my office. Not the closet, but the room. My office is this little. And it's just a little safe. It just kind of protrudes, but it's not very deep. And I thought, you know what? That looks like I can kind of knock in there. So I got a hammer and a chisel, whatever, and I'm beating through that. And I got through the first layer, and I'm beating the thing. Got through the second layer. I finally get into the last layer. Can't even budge it. I mean, I'm just whack, whack, whack. I got junk fun. There was like styrofoam stuff around it too. I guess that's the case for a fire or something, some kind of protectant. It's just crazy. I can't penetrate it. I finally gave up and realized that our millions are just going to be stuck. Now, I'm sure if I had a torch or something, I could have been in my closet burning all my clothes up and everything, trying to find. My guess is there's not a thing in there. You know, I thought about that. The deepest part of us that the Spirit can penetrate and wants to penetrate, some of us are like a safe. We have several layers. We shut the door, we lock it tight, and we have the combination. I don't want God in there. I don't want God in there. Remember Revelation 3 that a lot of people think is a verse to lead people to Jesus? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's written to his church. Isn't that sad? We claim to know Jesus. He's outside knocking. Let me in. Let me in. I will come unto you. I will sup with you. I want that fellowship. But we're like a safe. And many times it's sin that we lock our heart. Many times we don't have power because of sin. He moves on to dwelling in your hearts. Look at verse 17. Here's another, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Every child of God. By the way, all the personal pronouns in this passage are plural. The church. Jew, Gentile, all of us today. Now, this is not salvation dwelling. He's writing to people who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. This is a little bit different. It's katoikeo is the Greek word, which simply means to dwell in as your personal residence, to be exactly at home. Are you seeing a connection here? Let the Spirit of God get down deep and strengthen your inner being. May Christ feel and be at home in the deepest part of you, the control center, your heart. May Christ be exactly at home. A few years back, I was invited to a concert. I'm not a big concert going. I don't even care for Christian concerts. I don't like my heart beating out of my chest. I like a lot of volume in music. If I'm in the car alone, I may crank that puppy up. And everybody has their own personal preferences. So I was invited to this concert at Mesker amphitheater. And I knew the guy I was going to see with this person, and I'd heard his songs. He was a country singer who sang a lot of story songs, and I kind of liked them. I thought they were kind of neat. I liked the instruments they used. I thought, hey, this might be kind of neat. Now, being a non-professional concert-going person, I didn't realize that they always have another band come on before. You know, the guys that are trying to make it or whatever, and I don't know, the real band is in the back, you know, drinking Cokes or shooting up or whatever they do. you know. And so we're about halfway up, and it's a beautiful night, you know, and we got backstage passes. We got to go to the back and see the main attraction. And I thought, yeah, you know, it'd be kind of cool. Well, this first band came on, and I'm sitting there going, this is interesting. And it was loud. It was horrible, in my opinion. I could not understand a word they sang. And it was so loud, I tell you, I could feel the beat in my chest. I didn't like that feeling. I don't want him to do a weird beat and all of a sudden my heart gets out of rhythm and I die right there in Metzger Amphitheater. It was just, I just felt so out of place. And then I looked down and I saw a man that I had counseled years earlier. This man had tried to commit suicide. This man was a very unusual man. In fact, I wouldn't say this with him present, but he was kind of weird. He just had a lot of unusual stuff. Just his thinking was bizarre. And I saw him, and I thought, this is what he likes? I don't want him to see me here. I was teaching truth to him. And he's going to look at me and think I derive pleasure out of what he derives pleasure from? Well, Tim, you shouldn't think that way. I did. I couldn't take it anymore. I told my friend, I said, I can't stay. I gave him my pass, and I walked out. I walked 6 miles home. I could hear the music for about 4 miles. That might not bother you at all to be there. I'm not judging anybody, but that's what I think the Spirit of God convicted me. I felt so uncomfortable. Is that how Jesus feels sometimes in our heart? He's so uncomfortable. Is he really dwelling, feeling at home in my heart as his church? Uncomfortable, unpleased. And the Holy Spirit will always direct us for Christ to feel welcome at home. Have you ever been at home and your house is an absolute disaster? You say every day, somebody knocks on that door, right? But yeah, oh my heart. And you just, hurry, throw everything in the closet. Throw it in there. You know, spray the Febreze. Oh, hi, how are you? Well, come on in. Right? Been there a million times. You know, it's amazing how fast you can clean up a living room and a hallway to the living room. Don't go in that room. Don't open that closet. What if Jesus walked into our heart? He walked room to room to room. We talked about this yesterday. Wow, what would he throw away? What would he say? Why are you doing that? And one of the guys said, I think it would be a ton of stuff in our house and in our life. And I think he was right. So Paul prays this amazing prayer for the Jew and Gentile, the church, so that Christ will be at home in your heart, and it's through faith, trusting him, knowing his word is true. What an awesome prayer. Next he says, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And you see, love is the emphasis in this section. And a devout Jew needed to believe this. God loves the Gentile? A Gentile need to know this. God loves the Jew. And look how he uses an agricultural term here, rooted. Have you ever tried to pull a tree up in your house? Or your Joe Drew has the most amazing funny story about pulling up a tree. It is the greatest story ever. And he'll tell you, but don't tell the names of who. It's absolutely wonderful. Well, it might, but if you ever pulled up a big tree, this is going to be a piece of cake. What's under the ground? Or have you ever had your sidewalk all of a sudden go, what's under there? Roots. And he uses an architectural term, not only rooted, but grounded, established. What he's saying here is the Spirit of God wants you to be rooted and grounded, established, not easily moved, firm and unwavering. In what? God's love for you through Christ. What? This glorious, hot, blazing, holy God who is unapproachable and is so much higher than us loves me. What great songs we sang today. And can it be that I should gain an interest in what? The Savior's love. Died he for me, who caused his pain. And he says the Spirit of God wants you to be rooted deep, and your concrete goes down way, way deep. In what? God's love, the gospel that he just explained so thoroughly in the first couple chapters and the beginning of chapter 3. He loves you, Jew and Gentile. Look at verse 18. That you may have strength again to comprehend, to grasp with all of the church, all the saints, Jew and Gentile, all of us together are to be grasping this as a church. What are we to grasp? What is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That's why I put to know the unknowable. I thought John Stott, I loved how he described this. And I think what Paul is saying here in the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, he's really saying I can't describe it. But I thought this was so cool. John Stott said this, the breadth, not only Jews and Gentiles, but all mankind. The length, it's long enough to last for all eternity. The depth, it's deep enough to reach the most degraded sinner. Height, and high enough to lift that degraded sinner to heaven. I thought that's pretty cool. But grab this. Spirit of God wants us to have strength in our weakness with all the believers around us to know the love of Christ that really is unknowable. It's a supernatural work. In the deepest place of our heart, that God, you know God loves you. I find that amazing. To know the love of Christ, it surpasses knowledge. You know, I think with all the saints also refers to watching God's love in other people's lives. Doesn't that encourage you to know God loves you? With all the saints. Do you believe God loves you? I'll be honest, sometimes I say, you can't love me. Anybody ever? No hands? I'm the only sinner? There we go, yeah. Is your arm work? Sometimes I think, how could you love me? The Spirit of God wants you to know that Jesus, whom his job is to glorify, loves you. So let me ask you some questions in your life. What have you done in your life? What have you done that's evil and wrong and bad? You got any skeletons in your closet? You know, behind the safe? How have you failed and totally screwed up your life? I do funerals all the time for people that are, I don't know what term to use. They're kind of backward. They're rough. Their lives are just horrible. What sins keep on gripping you? You ashamed of anything in your past? You ashamed of anything this week? This morning, God can't love you. Has someone rejected you? Have you been rejected by someone or by others? Does it seem everybody's turned on you? Do other people try to make you relive your past and try to make you ashamed? Somebody stop loving you? God loves you. Breadth and length and height. To know what is unknowable. This holy, hot, blazing God who should have crushed us and sent us to hell the minute we were conceived loves you. The Spirit of God wants to direct you to understand that. And how did He prove it? It says in verse 19, it's the love of Christ who died because His Father asked Him to die to glorify His Father, but He also loves you. There's no greater love than that when a man gives his life for a friend. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, have everlasting life. God so loved that He what? He gave. He gave, He gave, He gave. And here's the next one, which is absolutely unbelievable, but it's believable. Filled with all the fullness of God. Purpose, clause, that you may be filled inside you with all the fullness of God. Are you kidding me? When you live your daily life, do you feel like you're walking around with the fullness of God? Did you ever eat too much? There I got a reaction. How do you feel? You know it's there, don't you? Sometimes I drink too much after I run. I just drink that water, that protein drink, and then it's like, ooh. I'm filled. You know it. Do you ever live a day where you sense the filling of God? What an amazing prayer. Spirit of God can direct you, control you, that you can actually be being controlled with the fullness of God. And I think the primary reference here is to His love in the gospel, because that's the context in these verses. Living like God in His love. Especially Jew and Gentile for all of us. My stomach's growling after talking about food. Goodness gracious. One author put it this way. Filled with the fullness of God is total dominance, with nothing left to self or any part of the old man. It is all of God and none of self. I got to be honest with you. I can't do that. I can't do that because myself is with me every day. It dogs me. It haunts me. It cries out, Tim, you are the center of your universe. This world is here for you. It is the total dying to self daily. Spirit of God wants to direct God's church to walk in the fullness of God. Where biblical gospel love shines bright in a world of hate, bigotry, racism, selfishness, anger, competition, jealousy, that biblical love, that gospel love shines and we walk in fullness of God. I can be like this hot, blazing, fiery, amazing God. What? Yeah. Is that not amazing? Wow, I think it is. It shines among each other, the church. Isn't it amazing that the scriptures say, I forget the reference, but it says, all men will know you are my disciples by your love for who? Not the world, for each other in the church. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's the fullness of God. Love, gospel love. And the last thing, sort of the end of his prayer, the Father enables the church to do what is humanly impossible. Look at verse 20. Now to Him who is able, there's another power word, to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power that's at work in your neighbor. That's at work in the pastor, in the elders. in the church within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout every generation, forever and ever. That's a human impossibility. God's power is never an issue in our praying. God's power is never an issue. God's will is the issue. And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is yes. God's power is never the issue. It's his will. Did you see that? Now this verse we could take out of context, couldn't we? I want to run a sub-5-minute mile. Lord, I can do it abundantly. You can do it abundantly. Everything I can ask or think. You die after 20 yards. I had a coach give me a book once that was used verses out of context about how to run faster. I was only in high school and I knew better. So don't take this verse out of context because it goes back to verse 14. It's always related to the scriptures, the will of God. To this blazing, hot, amazing God who loves you, he has the power to do. He has the power not only to do, but the power to do far more. He has the power to do. He has the power to do far more. But he has also the power to do far more exceeding or abundantly than all we could ask. He has the power to do far more, to do abundantly according to the power more than you can ask or even imagine. Isn't that amazing? You think Paul wants us to grab something there? He said it earlier in chapter 3, didn't he? We come with this confidence, access by faith and prayer to him. What a God to pray to. Amazing. And notice it's the work that's inside of us. God does amazing things for us to accomplish his will from his word inside of us. To do what's humanly impossible. Have you ever, something's been on your mind all day and it's related to God and you're trusting him for it? I think it's a part of praying without ceasing. He can do more than you could ever think or imagine. Or even if you bowed down and folded your hands and prayed. It's an amazing God. His power is never an issue. It's his will. What a great verse to remind ourselves when we're praying. And also look at the end of or verse 21. What is the goal of our praying? What is the goal for us to have a powerful church, to experience God's love together, to surpass his knowledge, to be walking, dying to self, and actually growing and changing and being like God? What is our goal? So we can be the biggest church in town. No. Look at it, verse 21. So that we, little old you and I, can bring God glory in the church together. In Christ Jesus, through every generation, even all the way through eternity, forever and ever. Amen. And how important this is when the enemy's attacking us, which is there in Ephesians. We'll get to chapter 6 eventually. That we are walking in love. In the gospel. Someone put it this way. Power comes from him. Glory goes to him. That's neat. So let me ask you as we close. God's power and strength are yours. Is your heart like a safe? Is your heart like a safe? I'm just not going to let him in. Christ can feel at home in your heart, but is your heart full of things that need to be removed? Do we pray like David, Lord, see if there is any wicked way in me. Show me and lead me to the way of everlasting. Yeah, but he might take something away that I really like. Yeah, he might. Do you need to be strengthened today to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? I know people that walk around and their past is in the U-Haul. They just carry it around. No matter what I say, no matter how I try to convince them from the scriptures, they will not believe God has forgiven them and God has loved them and God loves them. And that's how the enemy wants you to think. And the enemy knows what you've done and when you've done it. Doesn't the enemy go before the Lord and accuse the brethren? Yeah. And isn't it neat that Jesus says, I love him. I love her. My shed blood covers their sin. If we could only see that vision, we'd be absolutely amazed. But are you choosing to believe the enemy's lies that you're unlovable? Do you know that you and we as a church can experience the fullness of God, which is gospel love? Are you filled with bitterness today? Is there anybody in your life you're bitter against today? I've been there. That is the worst, most horrible place to be, bitterness. It is horrible. It'll grip your life and control you. That's not the fullness of God. You angry at anybody, sinfully angry today? Are you jealous towards anybody today? Do selfish desires grip our heart? Confess, repent, and you can walk in the fullness of God. Are you experiencing answered prayer? Are you dropping your desires and saying, God, what's your will? Not my will, but your will alone. And pray for that. Are we as a church living in power and desiring to bring him glory? But something or someone has taken his place. Wow, wouldn't that be interesting if God would show us that? Here, Tim, I'm going to put all the things that are important to you, and I'm going to put my son in place. Ooh, who would be number one, or what would be number one, two, and three, and finally, all the way around. We went to Chick-fil-A the other night because we were running behind, had to go somewhere, and just got a couple of sandwiches, and the drive-thru, it was unbelievable. It was like triple all the way around. So I asked the lady inside, is there a special deal going on? No, this is just the way it is. If God lined up everything, would Jesus Christ be like way at the end of the line? God in heaven, this passage is so amazing. I pray right now your spirit is convicting each of us. But I probably could have spent 5 weeks on this passage, highlighting different things and different aspects. God, convict us today. Reveal to us by your Spirit if we've locked our hearts. If someone or something is loved more than Jesus Christ the Lord. If anger or bitterness or jealousy or hatred has controlled us, if we're not seeking the power you've already given to us, God, I pray that you'd convict us and raise us up to live according to your fullness. We know we'll never reach that, but growing and changing, as you show us sins and show us the dark places that we don't even know. Lord, I wonder if we were there that day on Calvary and we knew that Jesus was being beaten and whipped and huge thorns thrust deep into his skull. People laughing at him, spitting in his face, mocking him. Nails piercing his body, a spear in his side. And he just didn't even look like a man. I wonder if we were there that day and we looked up at him, if we would cry, don't do it. Don't do that for me. Don't. I can picture you looking at us. But I love you. I love you. God, thank you for loving us. Your name is wonderful. Grab our hearts to love you more and more. And convict us to pray this for ourselves, this supernatural prayer, and to pray it for others. God, if there's anyone here that you have not opened their heart and redeemed them and saved them and brought them who are far away near through your Son's flesh, through his blood, through his body, I pray you give them that gift of light today. We sing to you now, Lord, with a hopefully a broken heart, but a thrilled heart. Change us, that we can give you glory in this generation, all the way through till you take us home. We pray this by faith in Christ's name.